party time, guys. It's party time. It's party time. It's party time. Y'all feeling good?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm feeling good, too. Okay. Today, we're going to talk about faith. If you could not tell from the big faith bumper, they went up behind me. I love faith because faith moves mountains, changes lives, causes you to walk on water. With faith, you truly do see victory. I love it. But the thing about faith that I think a lot of us miss is that it's so awesome and it's so powerful, but we have to keep our faith alive. We have to keep it alive. So, the title of this message is Big Faith, Stand Alive. Stand alive, stand alive. Yes, like the Bee Gees, yes. Bee Gees are in the building. Funny story to go along with that. Back in the day, in LaFay and I's first year of marriage, we didn't have a car. So we rode the bus and the train everywhere. And we had school and everything. So not high school, but college. We rode the bus and train everywhere. And so sometimes we wake up, you know, 4 in the morning, get ready to go, hop on the bus, the train, et cetera, get to where we needed to go. Needless to say, when you're up that early, you get to see some fun stuff. You get to see some interesting things. And there was a guy who, he brought us a lot of enjoyment, I'll say. Every morning or something, we see him. We get off of the bus and head to the train. And I kid you not, this guy's stride was awesome. It was awesome. And literally his stride, I mean his walk, was awesome. And eventually we put it to the tune of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. And I mean, this is how it was. You saw him come out. We get off the bus. We see him. Oh, look at him. There he is. And we will be walking behind. Well, you can't tell by the way I walk. And so every morning you see him, and it was just, it's still pitch black outside. He was going somewhere, and he had a hop in his step. Wherever he was going, he might have been going to work, he might have been going to kill somebody, who knows? But at the end of the day, he was happy about it. He made his way wherever he was going, he had this stride and a step. And that's a good segue, because before LaFay and I actually got married, we were still riding the bus and the train. We were dating, and it would take us about 6 hours to get where we were going. And if you ride the train at all, you know that you get to see some interesting things happen when you're on the train. And there is a rule that I have that I'll share with you later. It's a don't do. It's a don't do when you get on the train. But the story begins with LaFay and I hanging out, and I was really feeling low in my faith that day. Really low, just doubts hitting me and questions and all of these things just kind of weighing on my shoulders. And I made this list of scriptures that contradicted and pushed up against those fears and doubts that I had, but I didn't read those scriptures. I just wrote them all down. Kind of weird. But when LaFay came over, I explained to her what was going on, and she was like, well, let's not like do anything else. Like let's jump into the word, you know, let's dive in. That's my girl. That's my baby. She was like, let's do it, you know, let's go through it. So we went through the scriptures, we're reading it, I'm hearing the word, I'm getting pumped up, feeling good. I didn't know that I was getting pumped up for a reason. So it was time for us to leave. And when you're riding the train, you know it can take you a while to get to where you're going, so you got to leave in a good enough amount of time. I need to ride with LaFay to go back home to her house, drop her off, rather. We get on the train, and the rule that I was referencing before is if you're in the least bit attractive, in the least bit, and all of you guys are, last service, somebody said, that's big faith. If you're in the least bit attractive, you don't lock eyes with anybody who seems to be sketchy. You just don't do it. Well, there's a gentleman who gets on the train. He gets on like this. So, of course, people look up, and then here LaFay goes. She looks up. And lo and behold, she locks eyes with this guy. I'm like, Target, just close your eyes. And so this guy is coming our way. He's making noise all the way down the way. So He comes and he stands right in front of us. And we're not sitting on the in the chairs that go straight. We're sitting on the ones that face, you know, face sideways. And if you've been on the train, you know what I mean. So he could stand directly in front of us. He gets right in front of us. He says, "Give me some money." And I'm like, "Oh man, yeah, exactly. Oh man. Oh man." So I don't have any money to give. He said, "Give me some money." He's pulling on his pants. And I'm like, "All right. Now, like, I have to do something. Like, I have to make a move at this point, because right now we're sitting down. We're in the bad situation. You don't want to fight up the hill. You want to fight down the hill. You don't want to." So I'm like, "I got to get up. I have to do something to handle this situation." So I stand up, and I kid you not, this is what I said. I said, "Hey, man, I love you." That's what I said. That's what I said. As weird as that sounds. Yeah. "I love you." This is what he said. "I love you too." The man said, "I love you too." He said, "My name is Emmanuel." And I was like, "Yeah, Emmanuel." I was like, "LaFay, what does Emmanuel mean?" LaFay's on the phone with the police. And so I turn back around and he's like, "God with us." And I'm like, "Yeah, God with us." And he gets down like this, like he wants to pray. He puts his hand there. I said, "Oh, you want to pray? We can pray. Like, that's what we can do. We can do that right now." I sit down, and as soon as I say the name of Jesus, he goes, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He starts grabbing his head. He's on the ground. He's convulsing. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He gets up. He grabs the pole in the middle of the train. He's shaking it. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And I fall into action. I'm like, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm getting in there. I'm rebuking." But then he kept moving away, and so I let him go. And it was, LaFay was safe. I was safe. He was moving away, and I'm like, "I will catch you another day, demon. I will catch you another day." And I let the guy go, and you can really see that there were some things going on with him. There was a really big guy, probably 6'4", 275, 300. You know, guys, we can just calculate that by looking. And so while he's passing by that guy, he's looking him up and down. It's like, "Dude, do you recognize what's going on?" And he didn't. It was a spiritual thing. And I love that story because it has so much faith involved, that testimony, rather. But I learned something that day. I learned something from that day. I learned that faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. But it stays alive by action. Stays alive by action. I want you guys to go to James chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. What I want you guys to get out of this today is how to keep your faith alive. How to keep your faith alive. This is James 2, verse 20. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, I won't think you're texting, but I will think you're texting. James 2, 20 through 24. Here it is. And this, just to put it in context, James is, he's responding to an idea that if you don't do any work, that your faith is still good to go. So you can hear his disdain as we read. "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." So there's two things that James lets us know here. Without works, our faith is incomplete. Everybody say incomplete. 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 He also lets us know that without works to go along with our faith, we are not justified. We're not justified. So we're incomplete and we're not justified if we don't have work behind our faith. But then he gives one of the most vivid descriptions of faith without works. And this is verse 26. I want you guys to take a look at this. And we've all heard it before. "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Dead. D-E-A-D, dead. That's big words, right? Really, really, really big words. He didn't say your faith is dying. He didn't say you're in a bad place. He literally said, without works supporting your faith, it is dead. And then to make it even clearer, he said, just like the spirit of a man being gone from his body, just like that man dies, it's the same way. And we know if somebody's spirit leaves their body, they're out of there. That's it. It's interesting. It's interesting. Faith without works is dead. Heavy words. Heavy words. Would y'all agree? Awesome. 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 I knew you would. I knew you would. James talks about someone in this scripture. He gives a great example. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. And most of us, if you've grown up in church, you know about Father Abraham. But I'm going to give some context here. See, Abraham received a promise from God, and Abraham had a son, and that son, God told him to sacrifice. Sacrifice your son. Now, to give you a little bit more background, Isaac, Abraham's son, was what we call today a miracle baby. A miracle baby. We all love a miracle baby story. You know, when a baby pulls through out of something, or when there was issues having a baby and a person is now able to have a child, miracle baby. His story was a little different. Abraham was old, real old, older than all y'all. Abraham was really old, and not only that, Sarah was real old, real, real old, older than all of y'all. Yeah, slang, all of y'all, all of y'all. He was older than all of us. She was older than all of us. And God blessed them to have a little baby. So Isaac is a miracle baby. God has told him to sacrifice his miracle baby, the baby he prayed for and waited for. Not only that, though, it goes a little bit further. Isaac was a promise baby. He was a promise baby. Now, why was he a promise baby? He was a promise baby because God told Abraham, yes, all of your descendants will have this land, but not only that, you will have more descendants than you could even count. So Abraham is left with an issue. Abraham is like, well, if Isaac is the vehicle to the promise, if he dies, what's going to happen to the promise? If he is my son and he's supposed to have many more kids and so on and so forth, if I kill him, what's going to happen? What's going to take place if I kill the one through whom the promise is supposed to come? What's going to take place? Now, you could just imagine. Think about it for a second. If this was your child, this is your child. This was not a baby who was given to Abraham and Sarah, you know, a couple days before. No, no, no. This is the baby they waited for years and years, and then they raised him. Isaac was a pretty good age, so much so that he could ask Abraham, hey, daddy, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? They were getting ready to go, and he's like, we've done this time and time again. Daddy, we don't have a sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? God will provide it. And he trusts his daddy. Okay, cool. No problem. He has no idea that it's him. No idea. It is kind of funny. It is a little funny. It's a little funny. Just a little. Just a little. He has no idea. No idea. But he's I don't know how old he was, but he's of age to ask those questions. He's of age to understand exactly what was going on. So not only are you killing your son, the miracle baby, you're killing the promise at the same time. At the same time, you're like, if I kill him, everything that I've been promised, it goes away. Gosh, what are you to do? Just imagine you're in that situation. What are you to do? You feel the stress on your shoulders. You feel the weight. You're worried. He probably did not tell Sarah, because Sarah probably wouldn't have let it happen. She probably would have chased after Abraham. Abraham, put my boy down, you know. all that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah, because she's a mother. He probably didn't tell her. I don't know for sure, but he was going to handle business. And at that moment, he had to have faith that God was greater than the vehicle to the promise. He had to have faith. Now, I want to pause that story for just a moment, and I want to talk about the nature of faith real quick. So if faith was currency, aka money, you could only spend it on what you can't see. You can only spend it on what you can't see. You can't use faith for stuff that's already there. You can't use faith for stuff that is already worked out. You can't use faith for things that are already taken care of. You can only use faith for things that you can't see, things that aren't finished yet, things that still need something. Let me break it down a little bit clearer to you guys. Faith, it's like Chuck E. Cheese tokens. It's like Chuck E. Cheese tokens. Have y'all ever had your kids bring a big cup of those things home, and they're all over the place, these little gold tokens? Anybody ever been there before? Yeah. Or maybe you were the kid who brought them home? Those tokens, it's something about them because they're gold, and you see them shining, and part of you is like, is that a gold dollar? Is that a gold dollar? Is that a gold dollar? No. It's a Chuck E. Cheese token. It's a Chuck E. Cheese token, and you feel like, ah, get these things out of here, because every time I look at them, I get confused, and I think that they're real money, and they're not. See, the thing about Chuck E. Cheese tokens is you can only use them at Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. Can't go to Whole Foods with Chuck E. Cheese tokens. You get up there to the register. How you doing? Scan that. Yeah, okay. Okay. Got 8 Chuck E. Cheese tokens. There you go. There you go. Sir, you can't have this sushi. You can't have this sushi. Not with this. You're going to need some real money. You can only use these at Chuck E. Cheese. That's the way faith is. You can only use them on stuff you can't see. You have it for no other reason. No other reason. Faith is used for stuff that hasn't come into fruition yet. And also, like Chuck E. Cheese tokens, the activities that cost the most tokens give the biggest rewards. Biggest rewards. You get the big teddy bear. Same thing with faith. The things that you have to sacrifice, the things that you have to do, what you have to go through, the things that require the most faith out of you yields the highest reward. The highest reward. So we go back to Abraham. Abraham sees Isaac. He sets him there. Pulls out his knife. And he goes to do it. Now, just to put you in the in the right place, Isaac knows what's going on now. He's seen his daddy do this time and time again. It's the same knife. It's the same knife. He knows that what I'm about to be the sacrifice. Me. So just imagine where Abraham is in his mind. But Abraham knew that God, Even if I sacrifice the vehicle to the promise, you're greater. You can bring him back. You can do something. His trust was so much in God that he was willing to do whatever God asked him to do, even though it hurt, even though it was hard, even though it was stressful. He was willing. And right when he was about to do it, God said, Abraham, my man, there's a ram over there. I want you to go get that ram. That's your sacrifice right there. That's your sacrifice. But you were willing to give up the vehicle to the promise. You were willing to trust me over these things. You see, you know, that's what God is looking for. If Abraham said, God, I trust you, but this is too much. God, I trust you, but I cannot do this. This is my miracle, baby. This is how the promise comes. God, I trust you, but I can't do this. Flatline. his faith would have died right there. Right there. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. Right then and there. His faith would have flatlined. No, not Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, I trust you beyond what I see. I trust you beyond even what I understand. God, I will go through it because I know you. I know your nature. I know who you are, and I trust you with my life and my son's life. So I'm going to do what it is you told me to do. And look at God. It's a ram in the bush. He comes through. He provides. That's the God that he is. That's the God that he is. Or maybe we look at another situation. Maybe the faith you need is in the midst of looking stupid. It's in the midst of looking stupid, looking foolish. You so dumb. You're going to build this boat out here and it's never rained before. It's never rained before. Just to catch y'all up with the story, Noah in the ark, this was before there was rain, y'all. The water came up from the ground. It was dew at this point. Noah looks like an idiot. Everybody's talking about Noah. His daughters are probably walking around like, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? Like, oh, that's the, hey, that's the daughter of that crazy dude. Look at, hey, crazy. They're probably messing with the daughters, messing with the son-in-laws. The son-in-laws are probably about to get into fights with people. Why? Because they're saying, you guys are the laughing stock of the world. It's never rained. What's rain? Water doesn't fall down from the sky. You out here getting materials. You spending time. You spending money. You're doing all of this work for something God told you to do. Something God told you to do. You are so dumb. You're just a little dummy. Aren't you? Until it started raining. When it started raining, and they didn't know what was going on, what's this stuff falling down from the sky? It's a bird, it's a plane. It's rain. What do we do now? Noah's ark just rising. He was willing. See, but if Noah had said, God, I trust you, but I'm not down with everybody talking about me. They talking about my kids. You know we don't like to people mess with our kids. My mama's over there. She don't play about her kids. She don't play about her kids. They can't be talking about my kids, Lord. They can't be messing with my family. They talking down on me, and I just can't do that. Maybe there's somebody else to do it. But see, God, he's like Noah. I need somebody to do this for me. This is the only way I can save the world. I need somebody to trust me beyond what they see. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham, that's the only way. It's the only way. I got to find somebody who trusts me beyond what they see so we can save the world. You got to do something hard. We're in a fallen world. Things just got to get done. They got to get done. Things are not perfect. You face these challenges in your life. You may be in one right now. I have a feeling that you are. I know God has planned this whole thing out. You got a challenge in front of you right now. This very moment, your job, your marriage, husband just said he wants a divorce, kids wilding out, might be sick, feel like your body's falling apart, things don't look like they're working perfectly for you. This is the only thing you have your faith for. You only can use your faith now. You only can use it now. If everything was going perfectly, you wouldn't need your faith. You have no use for your faith when everything has worked out. You need your faith when things are going sideways. You need your faith when they're laughing in your face. You need your faith when it seems like nothing you can do can make it right. That is not the time to give up. That's the time to faith up. It's time to get going. That's the time to put the work behind your faith. Put the work behind your faith. It's the only way it stays alive. Well, you may be sitting here right now like, well, Pastor Chris, I hear you. But my life just got cut off, so I don't know what you're talking about. Well, she actually did leave. So I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I did just get laid off. My grandmother just passed. A friend of mine just got shot down in the line of duty. Nah, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm about that life, that faith life. I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't know if I can trust a God that would let all these things happen. I don't know if I can be like Father Abraham. I don't know if I can be like Father Abraham. Yeah, I get it. I've heard the stories. I've seen it. I've probably seen it in a movie. I don't know if I could be like that because my situation is real. Well, it was real too. But I understand. You don't feel like you could be like Father Abraham, but we don't have to keep talking about Father Abraham. We don't have to keep talking about Father Abraham. We're going to talk about the author and the finisher of our faith. Not the father of faith. We're going to talk about the author and the finisher of our faith. See, because an earthly father can only pass down what he's received, right? He only passed down what he's received, but the author of something, he created that thing. Yeah. And Jesus didn't just create it. He finished it. He finished it. He said, nobody else can add anything to this. This is it. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. That's it. Let's look at the author and the finisher of our faith. You may not be able to see yourself being like the father of faith, but let's look at the author and the finisher of our faith. This is Hebrews 12. You don't have to turn there. Just check it out. This is directly to you right now. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't get it twisted. Jesus did not die by lethal injection. It wasn't over like that. This is a man who was tortured, beaten, disrespected, dishonored, spat on, kicked, laughed at, flesh ripped open, beard pulled out of his face, beaten beyond recognition, crown of thorns put in his head, side pierced, nails in his hand. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Why? For the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It wasn't just physical pain. I mean, let's really bring it down to our level. I made y'all. Are you gonna spit on me? All of this, I did it for you. The air you breathe, the lungs you have, the trees, all of it. And you gonna spit on me? You gonna beat me? I made this metal you sticking in my hands. This tree you putting on, I grew that wood. And you're going to put me on it. You're going to beat me. Hey, but for the joy set before me, I'm going to endure. I'm going to push through. I'm going to keep going. Why? Because it's the only way y'all will be saved. It's the only way y'all get to know the Father that I know. It's the only way you'll be able to get back to him. It's the only way. So I'm going to do it. And that's joy for me. I want to see the smile on your face when you meet him. I want to see the smile on your face when you get to heaven and you see all that he's been preparing for you. It is worth it for me, for the joy set before me. The joy set before me. And that is the answer to your problem. The joy set before you. I want you to think back to when you first met him. I want you to think back to when he saw you when you were down and out, crying your eyes out, beat up, doing all kinds of stuff you had no business doing. You felt like nothing. Felt like trash. I want you to go back to that time when he showed his love to you. How he made you feel. How he showed you that one day all of this will be over. He said every tear, all of it, that'll be gone. You won't cry anymore. You won't fear no more. You won't worry anymore. All of this healing is going to come. Just accept me. He met you where you were, and he accepted you just like you were. And like a good father, he changed you over time. He grew you over time and loved you in the midst of your mistakes. I want you to remember that day when your father told you about Jesus. Remember that day when your mother talked to you about the Lord. Those times when you learned growing up that Jesus is real. Whatever your story is, I want you to think back to that time when you met him, because that's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to make it for the joy set before you. Guys, you cannot use your faith for any other reason but right now, in the midst of whatever you're going through. Whatever you're facing right now, that's why you got it. This is your Chuck E. Cheese tokens, and you're at Chuck E. Cheese. Have a ball. Use it. Go play in the balls, whatever you want to do. Go ahead. This is the only time you can use it, and it's by the joy. That's how you're going to make it through. That's how our Savior did. For the joy set before him. Now, it may be that you need to look back to the joy that you had when you got married. Because now it looks like this ain't gonna work. She don't like me, I don't like her. He don't like me. I don't know if I can keep doing it. Remember the joy when y'all stood before the Lord and you said, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Remember that day. Remember that day. You can still have it, but only if you don't let go of your faith. Only if your faith stays alive. You got to keep working. You got to keep moving. And if you keep moving, you will see it. You will see it. But if you let go right now, I can guarantee you, you won't see it. I can guarantee you your marriage will fail if you let go. I can guarantee you that you'll be fired if you stop working. I can guarantee you that your child won't feel love if you don't love them. I can guarantee you that. But if you put that work behind your faith, that lets God know you're down for it. When Jesus was going through all of that stuff, this is what was happening. His faith was alive and well, real strong. Why? Because he did what it took so that we could be free. Right now, you have to do what it takes. Guys, we live in a fallen world. Stop making excuses. He went through it too. You can do it. You can do it. My mom is sitting right there. Seven kids. And she fine. Seven kids. My mama has no degree. Got about 9 of them floating around now from all the kids. My mama's got strength like the world hasn't seen. My mama taught me. She taught me what it was like to trust God in the midst of every bit of hate that the enemy could throw. Every obstacle that the enemy would put in her way, she stood not by her own might or her own strength. She stood by the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. And my mama's not anything special in the sense of herself. She just trusts the Lord. God is the one who's special. He's the one who'll get you through. He's the one who'll help you make it. But you have to hold on to that faith. That's the reason why you're here right now. You might think, I came to church out of habit, but I don't know if I could keep going in this faith thing because so many things have happened to me this week. I have not been putting the work behind my faith this week. I've been living any kind of way because I don't know if I can keep going. No, you're here for a reason. And God is telling you right now, he's telling you right now, do not let go. Don't let go of your marriage. Don't let go of your kids. Don't let go of your work ethic. Don't let go of the trial. You keep going through it. Keep going through it because on the other side of that, there's joy. on the other side of that, that's victory. You can see the glory of God in your situation if you don't let go. Just don't let go. Keep your faith alive by doing what you got to do. You'll see the fruit. You'll see the fruit. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want you to hesitate. If right now, in any part of your life, you feel like you're struggling with faith, job, marriage, kids, business, whatever you got going on, if you feel like you're struggling in faith, I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but I'm going to ask you to stand right now, if that's where you're struggling. Now, this is exactly what happened last service. We got one, two people, awesome. Three, four, five, six, seven, awesome. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. You're not alone. 44, 45, 46. It's okay. It's okay. Why? God brought you here for a reason. He brought you here this day, this time, so that you can know He is with you. He's with you. He will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. He would not give you up, and He showed you that when He went to the cross. At the very time when everybody else would have gave up, He kept standing for you, and He's with you in the very situation you're in, no matter how big or small anybody else thinks it is. It's a big deal to you. It matters to you. If you're around somebody who's standing up, I want you to stretch your hands towards them, because we're a family, and the Spirit of God is in this place, and the Spirit of God is in His people. We're going to pray. And as I pray aloud, I want you to pray. Not because you know everything, not because you're so great. You're praying that the will of God be done. You're praying that God will give them strength. It's not in us. It's in Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Your people are here. Your people are here. And Father, they need strength, Lord. They're in a place where it's time to activate their faith. There's no other place they can use it but right here and right now. And Father, they need Your encouragement. We need Your encouragement to keep standing. And Father, I pray that You would give it to them now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray they experience Your comfort. They experience Your joy. They experience Your peace right now. Father, I pray they experience Your touch. Put the joy before their eyes, Lord. The joy they used to have in their walk with You. The joy they used to have in their marriage, Lord God. If they never had joy, give them a fresh joy right now, Lord God. To know that what You have for them, I have not seen and ears have not heard, what You have prepared for Your people. Father, You have blessings for them. Comfort them now in the name of Jesus. Give them strength. Help them to work, to act, to do in accordance with their faith, to keep that faith alive, Lord God, so they can help make others alive. They'll know Your blessings. They'll know Your victory. They'll know Your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, we don't ever want to end a service without giving an opportunity for those who don't know that faith. You don't know Jesus. You know you don't know Him. Some of the references I made tonight, you don't even know what it is. You just got the Bee Gees one. That's it. That's it. It's okay. It's okay. Myself and some of the other pastors are going to be down here in the front to pray the prayer of salvation and walk through that with you. Now, here's the thing. This is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not, well, I believe in Jesus. I walk out. I can do whatever I want. If you do that, then your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. Your goal is to be everything God has called you to be. Know the freedom and the love that He's called you to know and be a blessing to this world. Bring His kingdom. So like a good father, you'll accept Him and then He's going to change you. He's going to grow you. It's going to be slow. And sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes you have to say no to the people you used to hang out with. Sometimes you're going to have to say no to the places that you used to go. And some things, you're not going to have a taste for it anymore. That's a good thing. That's what he wants to do. So right after this is over, I want you to come forward. When everybody starts fellowshipping and smiling and talking, don't get caught up in that. Because your salvation is more important at this moment. After you get to salvation, then you should definitely jump into that fellowship. Have a mosh pit. Do whatever you want to do. But I want you to come down here so we can pray that prayer for you. Save your life. It'll change everything. You have more freedom than you ever experienced. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person in this place, and I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the leadership here. Thank you for Pastor Joe and Pastor Nancy. Thank you, Lord God, that they, Lord God, are not standing in your way, Lord God. They are right there with you, Lord God, allowing you to have whatever way you want to have in this place. They're not getting in the way. And Father, things like this, freedom, victory, joy, Lord God, is what's being experienced here. Father, I pray you continue to have your way and be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a great one. Praise God.